When I was a kid, I really enjoyed show and tell. It was one of my favorite things in kindergarten because people would come with like some type of item and they'd put it either in like a box and they'd shake it and we'd be sitting there as little kids like, what is it? What is it? What is it? And then they'd open it and you'd see this whole new reality that was just, you were blinded to. You couldn't see it, so you didn't know it existed. Sometimes we'd guess right and sometimes it was just amazing what would come out of the box with kids and what they would bring. Just want to do a little show and tell tonight as far as what we have for armor, what we have for weapons in this battle of spiritual warfare. But also I want to look at how we keep the enemy out of our camp. So we're just going to pray right now for the Holy Spirit to be with us, and then we'll see where the Lord takes us. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks and praise for your sacred word, for you calling us into deeper communion with you, that we may remain in you as you remain in us. You tell us that apart from you, we can do nothing. So we pray for a deeper union and a desire to fight all in us that keeps us separated from you. And we give you thanks for giving us armor and weapons to fight this good fight of faith so we may gain more souls for your kingdom. We make all these prayers in Jesus' name. Amen. So just a little review. I always enjoyed it when teachers would do that in college because I was like, oh, I know some of this stuff. And sometimes I was like, I got a lot of studying to do. So 2 weeks ago, we talked about knowing the enemy, right? The enemy is the enemy. It's not, again, not a political party. It's not a gender. It's not a race. The enemy is the evil one. If we just get that one thing right, like so much makes more sense in our lives. But also to know your battle. We looked at Ephesians 6, looking at how St. Paul says, your battle is not with flesh and blood. So it's not with people. It's with the principalities, the powers, the evil spirits, the prowl about this world. Because as soon as you and I start hating one another or hating another person, the devil's like, great. They're all made in God's image and likeness, and this is great. This is just my plan. I want them to hate each other. Last week, we looked at knowing your shepherd. We had the reading of the Good Shepherd and just knowing what he's actually like, but also knowing the sheep, like knowing the Blessed Mother, the angels, the saint, St. Michael, but also the importance of community, having people around you who can support you. This week, we're going to look at knowing your weapons, knowing your armor, but also how to keep the enemy out of the camp. So what are our weapons? This might sound kind of strange, but our number one weapon is prayer. And if we know that prayer is a weapon, and we're starting to devote ourselves to prayer, just looking at 1% of the day is 15 minutes. Now, for men, like we spend sometimes 15, 20 minutes on the can, right? We spend more time doing that than we do praying. We all have time for prayer, right? And just to spend time with the Word of God, which is a weapon, spending time either just thanking God or just relating to him, spending and talking to him throughout the whole day. Because in John 15, we hear, remain in me as I remain in you, which means we're called to have deep abiding communion with the Lord all day long. Your relationship and entering into that relationship always is a weapon. And as we journey, like we have to know that the Lord's calling us to live in an integrated life. A lot of us, because we've never been taught how to pray, so many people I encounter, has anyone ever taught you how to pray? Answer's almost always no. We live like a disintegrated life. It's check this box, jump through this hoop, jump through that hoop. And there's no intimacy with the Lord. Maybe I say a Hail Mary in the morning and a Glory Be before I go to bed in my nighttime prayers. But then in the middle of the day, it's just like there's no relationship. What the Lord's calling us into is communion with him. Spend and learn what's the best time for you to pray. What's the best time for you to sit with the Word? What's the best place? And discerning that, but also building my day around prayer instead of just fitting prayer into my day. Also to know that like worship is a form of battle. Like our primary form of worship is the holy sacrifice of the Mass, but also praise, like thanking and praising God, praise music, and look like changing our musical styles. Like that if you learn one thing, the devil hates you, like Gregorian chant. Can't stand it. Sometimes when they do exorcisms, they actually pray and sing Gregorian chant. Another weapon that a lot of people don't think is a weapon, but it's Eucharistic adoration. Best evangelist on the campus is Jesus. And we're so honored to have him for sure here at Mass, but we have him in the tabernacle every single day at the Newman Center. Every single Catholic church has that. And one that a reason why sometimes we don't see the Lord work as fast as we want to is because we don't see fasting as a weapon. When you truly fast for a cause, the Lord works faster. Taking a break from certain foods and feeling that also solidarity with the poor. And so often the reason why we don't grow in relationship or we become so weak is because we become lethargic. We overeat. We could fall into gluttony. We're taking a break from something. But also one thing when you fast is your senses get heightened. Your antenna goes up and you're able to notice the temptations of the evil one. And maybe it's just me, but when I fast, like food talks to me. I don't know why, but it's like, especially I love peanut butter. If you know me, I love peanut butter. A few Lents ago, someone was doing something with, on Ash Wednesday, something with peanut butter. It was like middle of the day. I haven't had any food yet. I've only had water. And it felt like the whole Newman Center was full of peanut butter. And I'm like, oh my gosh, this is so hard. And the peanut butter was like, eat me, eat me, eat me. But it wasn't the case. But fasting is a huge weapon, especially to be sober and vigilant, as we heard from St. Peter, right? To know that our opponent is roaring like a lion. For sure, sacred scripture. Like, do you when you pick up your Bible, do you think you're putting a weapon in your hand? Like St. Paul says, like to put on the armor of God, which we're going to talk about in a second. And he says, stand fast with your loins girded in the truth. And this book is full of the truth, and we live in a culture that's so confused. Sometimes, like, I don't know where I'm going, but there's so many scriptures that are just saturated with advice, saturated with real life experience, and we can learn so much. And often people say to me, I pray, but I don't hear God speak. But we know if it's God primarily, if what the voice we hear, if it's in line with sacred scripture. Also, of course, the sacraments. Staying close to the sacraments, for sure the Holy Eucharist, frequenting the sacrament of confession. And the only one who doesn't want you to go there for sure would be the evil one. He wants you to stay away from there. Because in confession, our consciences are formed. To know what's true, to know what's false, to know where to go, where not to go, right? And it's always a sacrament of victory. It's always a place of victory. There are no losers in confession. But it's also a place where God confesses his love for you. Like, for sure we confess our sins, but he loves forgiving you. He loves giving you a new start. He loves encouraging you. And when you're given penance, what penance is meant to do is to strengthen your will. So when you're tempted in sin, you should think, what was my last penance? How can I apply that to resist this temptation that I'm struggling with? We also have holy medals. So I have a few here. Again, back to kindergarten for me. I don't know if you ever had a holy medal, but I'm just going to throw a few out to the guys in front because they're close by and they're football players. So if they can't catch, you are going to be cut from the team. But miraculous medals, super powerful, just to have them with you at all times. A lot of people I know that have nightmares. They put a miraculous medal in their pillow sheet. I carry a miraculous medal on me at all times. You won't find me without one. I wear it on what's called another sacramental, which is called a scapular. And to have a scapular is a way of looking at sacred scripture where St. Paul says, put on the breastplate of righteousness. You actually wear it like this. Mine's underneath my clothing. But it comes from Our Lady of Mount Carmel, but it protects so much of where we're attacked. The place where we breathe, the place where oxygen enters our life, where our heart is. But to take on the devotion to the scapular, you also have to commit to going to confession often and praying the rosary daily. And the rosary, again, is also that too. I remember when I was at a men's conference and Christopher West, he said, gentlemen, gird your loins with the truth. He said something else after that. I'm not going to say it here, but he encouraged us to always carry a rosary on us. St. Padre Pio, who's one of my favorite saints, if he didn't have a rosary, he would tell somebody, go get my weapon, the rosary. You'll never find somebody who avoids mass or who avoids confession who prays the rosary. Guarantee a lot of you who frequent the sacrament of confession, you pray the rosary often to meditate upon the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus and to intercede and pray. It's one of the greatest weapons we have. We also have holy water. Holy water just repels the evil and he can't stand it. It's a great way of just invoking the presence of God, asking evil to leave. We also have blessed salt. So I'm a little bit of a psycho when it comes to blessed salt, so I have a big bag of it. But the tradition comes from in the Old Testament when a land would be conquered by the Romans, they would sprinkle salt so nothing would grow there. And what we do as Catholics, we baptize bad things and we make them good and we claim territory for the Lord. And you can for sure. You can consume it if you're feeling sick. You can't do it superstitiously at all. But I've been at prayer services, and part of the prayer services were being sprinkled with holy water, having some blessed oil on my forehead, and then just consuming a little pinch of salt. Because also we want to reclaim the territory of our bodies, our souls, right? And we have armor. Like St. Paul tells us to have this, the helmet of salvation, to know before anything the extremely good news of the gospel. If you haven't had the gospel shared with you, I would encourage you to go see a Focus missionary and say, I would like to know what the gospel message is. Please share the gospel with me. You want to know my version of it? I can give it to you in 5 minutes. But one thing the gospel affords us is hope. And to know that there is hope for you and there's hope for others, and it's also the message that does the work for us. There's so much goodness that comes from that. Also, to have your scriptures say that have your feet ready to share the gospel. Like to have the gospel message with you with a zeal to share this message with all the lost sheep we talked about last week, and to spend time really meditating and learning how you can share it, and also incorporate your own story into it. The day I felt called to be a priest, I heard the gospel in one form or another, but the one thing I had was a desire to change. I had this desire to change, a desire to go to confession, and my life just began to change that day. I'll never look back and regret receiving the gospel. Another piece of armor that we have is humility. It's the greatest virtue. St. Augustine says there's three of the greatest virtues, and it's humility, humility, and humility. The reason why the devil could never catch the Blessed Mother is because she was humble. Listen to her Magnificat. My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord, right? My spirit rejoices in my Savior. So she could have said, hey, like, I'm the Mother of God, look at me. But no, she pointed to Jesus. Humble people point to Jesus. And again, when we look at humility, it doesn't mean thinking less of yourself, right? It doesn't mean that. It means thinking of yourself less. It's so important that we get that. Just to have this selflessness and to be focused more on the Lord than we on ourselves. And another weapon that we have, and I'll end with, is forgiveness. Like we have the cross, right? Where we receive forgiveness, where God forgives us, receive mercy. And when we go to confession, for example, and I receive forgiveness, we're also called to forgive ourselves and also go forgive others. Ask for God's mercy, and there's power in forgiveness. A lot of the issues that we have where the evil one has strongholds in our lives, which I want to talk about in a second here, is because we hold unforgiveness in our hearts. We hold the poison of unforgiveness in our lives. You ever had time to actually ask for forgiveness from somebody that you hurt? But it's a really gut-wrenching experience, but it's also one of the most liberating experiences. And what it looks like as you move forward, it's like walking through a room without feeling like you're walking on eggshells. You feel free. Because then they don't have power over you anymore. And again, forgiveness does not mean that you approve of what you've done or you approve of what they've done. You're forgiving the person in Jesus. You're giving that hurt, that anger, that pain to Jesus. But then you also do something that we're called to do, is to bless the person, to seal the forgiveness and blessing. And the last thing I want to share with you, so I could share a ton, but is how do we keep the enemy out of the camp? But then if we're going to ask that question, like the question is also, how did he get in? We do a lot of discernment. It's really important for us to do discernment. And as I say these things, I'm not pointing fingers at you. I just want to make that very clearly. I'm assuming you know nothing what I talk about. So if you get offended by anything I'm about to say, I just care about you, and I want you to know this is dangerous stuff. But also, the Lord wants you free. So witchcraft is real. If you've dabbled in it in any form, just go to confession, get some deliverance, get some ways to get out, because it's a way of trapping us. And are witches real? Yeah, they're real. This is if you look at TikTok, there's this thing called witch talk. It's grown exponentially over the past few years. I think they're up to like 300 to 400 million viewers. They have billions of views. So people are into this stuff. There's also the occult or the New Age movement. And this is very personal to me because I have two aunts who got caught up in it. But it's all about power. It's all about power. And I have two aunts that got into it, and they're still into it. They left the family in the 70s, and they're still into it. And they just are very much brainwashed. So I say to pray for my aunts. Because I remember when I was learning about the faith, and I would do certain things, and my dad, because these are his sisters, right? He knew about this stuff. He was very concerned about some of the things I was doing. So one of the things he was concerned about was yoga. There was this thing in high school. It was called yoga for athletes. I literally just went because I wanted to get flexible, because I'm like one of the most unflexible dudes in the world, and I want to be a better baseball player for it. My dad literally printed off a 200-page document from Pope Benedict on why yoga is dangerous. What does yoga mean? Yoga means to yoke yourself, right? To place yourself under the yoke of somebody else. But also, when we look at yoga, it's a religion. Now, if just at a general stance, if I was to practice, to make a religion an exercise form, if like I was a Buddhist or a Hindu and I practiced yoga as a religious platform, but then people are doing it as an exercise platform, I'd personally be offended. But like where the Lord works through us, he tells us we're not supposed to take the postures of any false deity. And all the postures in yoga are gods in the Hindu religion. So we don't do that. But also what it does, it opens us up to evil. In Hinduism, what they want is separation of body and soul. But what does the Lord want? It's the incarnation. He wants complete union with us. He has said that in the gospel, remain in me as I remain in you. And as we look at the different ways the enemy can get in, that's also how the Lord says, I'm here to prune you so you can bear fruit. And sometimes the reason why we can't bear fruit is because maybe we've messed around with horoscopes or astrology. Sorry, but it's a way the enemy can get in. And sometimes it happens through drug abuse or even physical abuse, sexual abuse. And the Lord wants to set captives free. In the Gospel of Luke chapter 4, Jesus reads sacred scripture saying, I have come to set captives free, to give sight to the blind, right? To give captives to liberate them. And how he does that is he finds out where these strongholds are, because some of you are on the path of healing. You're trying to get past your past, right? And as you try to get past your past, sometimes what happens is I'm trying to leave, but something's holding my foot down. Call that a foothold or a stronghold, right? I try to shut the door, but there's something in the door. There's a foothold there. And when we find out these things, tarot card, whatever it is, these things, the Lord wants to set us free from that, and we have to repent of that. But if we went into it unknowingly, like the Lord knows that. Like he's a gentleman. He's not going to say, how could you? You moron, you idiot. He knows you're weak. He knows you're fickle. But also he wants you to know the truth. And because the truth sets you free. And what do we believe as Christians? We believe that truth is a person. And his name is Jesus. And he's head over heels in love with you. And he doesn't enjoy seeing you just in the enemy's camp, feel like you're a burden or feel like you're dumb or you're stupid or you can't get set free. You'll always be this way. But what he's done is he's given us these weapons. He's given us this armor so we can endure the battle, endure the fight of faith till we get to heaven. And he wants you to also use it prudently. As I end here, if you didn't know any of this, I just want to remind you, like, there's no finger pointing here. I'm assuming you know none of this. If you know this, like, consider yourself blessed. But one thing is, when we come to know the truth, and the truth is set before us, we have a decision to make. So to either walk the narrow path the Lord has called us to walk, or to walk the path of destruction. The closer we get to the Lord and the closer we get to light, it feels like everything is exposed. Everything is exposed. And the Lord wants to, first of all, expose the enemy and the way he works in your life. And that's a great prayer to pray. If you go into Holy Hour this week, it's really encouraging. It's like, ask the Holy Spirit, like, what is the evil one's strategy for my life? Like, what is the play that he does over and over and over that I fall into that trap? One of my favorite images of Scripture is Scripture is game film. We can see how the enemy works. Go look at Scripture, see how the enemy works, but also see how the Lord works to combat his style. I notice the Lord is always the victor. The enemy can't stand him. And he also can't stand the fact that he rose from the dead. And as we're in this Easter season, there's an invitation to use these things wisely. So I want to encourage you to know that the Lord has given you armor, but it'd be very strange, and he's given you weapons, it'd be very strange to not use them. Maybe there's an invitation tonight. I'm always going to pray the rosary every day, but I'm always going to carry a rosary with me. I think I've ruined like 30 or 40 rosaries by going through the laundry, and I have no shame in that. Always carry holy medals with me. These are Benedictine medals. Here you go, guys. Let's see if you can catch them all. Sweet. Football players, no one's getting caught tonight. But St. Benedict medals are known. Those are all blessed, by the way. Those are known for helping evil like be away from us. I have my St. Benedict medal, my miraculous medal, attached to my scapular. I just want to end with this story, just as a little invitation, just to know that we're at battle, to know we have an enemy. Again, we have to know our battle, but also just needs it for us to be so grateful that we have a church that provides these things for us. And some people think this is superstition. It's not superstition. It's faith. And it's not how strong are you, it's how weak are you. I don't pray the rosary because I'm strong. I remember when I was first learning how to pray the rosary, I was so embarrassed that I didn't know how to pray it. I was so prideful, and I didn't know how to ask for help. And I started off by saying, a lot of people don't pray because they never taught how to pray. And I think something that's an invitation for us today is just to be humble this week, and just to really say, like, where am I unknowledgeable about the rosary or about, you know, holy water, blessed salt, or prayer, adoration? And would I be humble enough this week to ask for help from somebody? Say, I don't know how to, like, just sit and be still in prayer and adoration. I don't know how to go to confession. Could you teach me? The devil hates it when we are humble like that. But then as we use these weapons, we must use them wisely. And also know that we use these weapons to save souls on this campus. And if you've opened the door to the enemy, if you've allowed him into your camp, if you need help, again, don't be afraid to ask. I won't judge you. Like, this is near and dear to my heart, because people are opening doors and they don't know how to close them. But for some reason, the Lord gave me just a lot of knowledge how to close them, and a lot of it comes through forgiveness. It's one of the great enemy's greatest tactics is to think that we don't have any way of forgiving, or we can't forgive, or we can't be forgiven. But as we started this series with divine mercy says, there is not one sin that is greater than his mercy. Not one. Not one. You think of the greatest sin in the world, not one he can't forgive. And we take that desire to be agents of mercy and spreading the message of mercy, again, it brings hope eternal. So I pray that this has been helpful for you. I pray that you use your weapons wisely, use your armor wisely. But again, if there's any areas in your heart where you think, I might have opened a door there, repent and don't be afraid to ask for help. And may Almighty God bless you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.